Yes, we do. So very true. He is our defense and our righteousness. He is our all in all. And we ask him to shine upon this land, pour out his spirit upon us. Number 24. Lord, the light of your love is shining in the midst of the darkness, shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. Set us free by the truth you now bring us. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. Lord, I come to your awesome presence from the shadows into your radiance. By the blood I may enter. Search me, try me, consume all my darkness. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. As we gaze on your King, brightness, so our faces display your likeness, ever changing from glory to glory. Mirrored here, may our lives tell your story. Shine on me, shine on me, shine, Jesus, shine, fill this land. The Father's glory, blaze, Spirit, blaze, set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow, flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. Good morning. It's great to see everybody this morning on a beautiful morning after a nice rain and the fresh air, and just puts joy in our hearts, doesn't it? So good to see all of you. I have some announcements before we go on with our worship service today. 2 weeks from today, hopefully most all of you know, is Sunday school kickoff on September 12th, which means Sunday school at 9:30. Praise music, 10:15, 10:30 worship, and the Christian Education Committee will be hosting a potluck dinner after church that day. And yes, we are doing a potluck dinner this time. So if you're good with that, then bring plenty to share with others that stay. So that's 2 weeks from today. This Wednesday, we start confirmation classes. The times are in the bulletin, Fellowship of Christian Athletes. We start that this Wednesday night as well. That's for the 8th through 12th graders that can come to that. I want to mention this prayer seminar that's coming up. It's about 3 weeks away on Saturday, September 18th. But that's going to be up at Parkston, the Parkston Church. And our regional pastor, Reverend Ray DeLaurier, he's going to be leading that seminar. It starts at 10 in the morning, should be done just before noon. And the church is serving a light lunch for those that want to go. So call our church office if you're planning to attend, so we can let them know about how many might be coming to that. I want to say a big thanks to everyone that helped with church cleaning this last week. Thank you very, very much. Just even smells wonderful in here. Not that it doesn't all the time, but it just smells a little more wonderful. So thanks for that. We appreciate it. The consistory, another just real quick meeting after church today in the consistory room there. And then after that, if I know they're staying around consistory, if there's two or three other young, strong men that would stay, we're going to try to unload one more trailer and put up there. You know, we have three of those curtains in the Sunday school room that need to be put back up before everything gets going. So if you're able to stay and help, we would appreciate that very much. Also, I just want to mention with the sound, the video, the projection crew, we're looking for a couple more volunteers, high school students, young adults who know all the tech part of things. Be awesome to have you help out there. Talk to Joni Handel if you're willing to do that. And I want to say too, a special thanks to Doug Handel. He's going to be stepping off that crew. He's helped us for a lot of years, put a lot of hours into that. So God bless you, Doug. Thank you very much. The rest of the announcements, please read as you have time. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you so much. We thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the rains here the last couple nights, refreshing your creation and the beauty of it. Thank you for the outpouring of your Spirit, refreshing us as your children, our lives, Lord, that you fill us each and every day afresh with the Holy Spirit of God. We ask you to do that. And as we've sung that last chorus, Lord, we pray daily and ask that you would fill this land with your glory, that you would blaze across this nation from one end to the other with the fire and the power of the Holy Spirit of God, bringing the nation to repentance, Lord, for our sin, which is great. We need revival, and we ask for it. We need it in our own lives, that you would flow with a mighty river by your grace and your mercy. We pray that for here this Sunday morning as we gather in your presence. We humble ourselves before you and under your mighty hand. For you, Lord God, are the Ancient of Days. In Jesus, you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And what a privilege it is to gather as brothers and sisters in Christ to worship you with all of our heart, spirit, soul, and body. And so we do. We stand and we bless your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And our opening hymn is Stand Up and Bless the Lord. So let's stand. We're singing verses 1, 2, 4, and 5. Out of the hymnal, and the words are on the screen. Amen.
Stand up and bless the Lord, ye people of his joys. Stand up and bless the Lord your God with heart and soul and voice. Though high above all praise, above all blessing high,
That song, the phrasing of it, largely comes from Nehemiah after those in exile came back and rebuilt the wall around the temple, and they had read the law, and the priest, the Levites, said, "Stand up and bless the Lord your God." And so we do. Well, take a moment and greet those around you, please, before you're seated. We'll have our sharing of joys and concerns here this morning. Couple things that I have written down. Cody and Alicia Gramko. Alicia had her baby on Friday afternoon, a little boy, and his name is Kayson. That's C-A-Y. The bulletins were done, so that's why it's not in there by the time I had the news. But Kayson Travis Gramko, 7 pounds and 2 ounces, so exciting for them. Alicia's brother Jason, so he's named after him. Was Alicia older than Jason, or Jason was older? Okay, but Jason passed very young a couple years ago from an aneurysm, so that's how the name comes in after Jason. And interestingly enough, Kayson was born at 1:48 in the afternoon, and that's when Jason was born on his day. At 1:48 in the afternoon. So, excitement and congratulations to the family. Also, prayers for Lori Whale. She's going to have an angiogram done this Friday and an echocardiogram, and they'll see if there needs to be a stent at that time. So we pray for Lori. And got an 11-year-old boy here today, I think. Daniel Schaefer's birthday is today. Happy birthday, Daniel. Anything else? Yes, Lee. Skylar Heckenleibel's birthday was when?
Yesterday.
Happy birthday, Skylar. I missed that somehow. You're welcome. Did I see a hand right here? Rita. Oh, okay. I'm sorry to hear that. Okay. I knew we had a lot of Olivet people here, and welcome. I guess Pastor Arlen Coulter's wife, Deb, had a slight stroke this morning or last night somewhere. Okay. Sorry to hear that. All right. This is the Olivet pastor, and Arlen and Deb Coulter. They live in Sioux Falls, but all right. We will be praying. Yes, Sandra. All right, Matt and Trisha Fisher's anniversary is today, 23 years. Congratulations. Okay, over here, Laura. Joni Hondel had a birthday yesterday. Happy birthday, Joni. Yes, Leah. Amanda Ramos, her birthday is on the 1st. Happy birthday to Amanda. And whose hand is that? McKinley, I think. And McKinley Guthmiller's birthday is on Thursday. And yes, Paisley. And Brantley Holsworth's birthday is also on Thursday. Okay. Lots of birthdays, yeah.
On Thursday the 2nd, I will be with this guy 55 years.
It's your anniversary. This Thursday, 55 years for Don and Sandra Fisher. All right, wonderful. Okay, let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you. It's always a joy as we celebrate together these birthdays, the anniversaries, and we thank you for each of these individuals, for your life within them, your strength, your health. Thank you for 55 years of marriage for Don and Sandra, and we pray that they can enjoy many more years together. We want to pray for Pastor Arlen Coulter and his wife Deb, as she suffered a slight stroke somewhere in the night. Sounds, we just lift her up to you. We pray that things are going well there. We pray that as the doctors and nurses are working with her, that life and health and strength is being restored throughout her body, every fiber of her being. Lord, that you just infuse your life-giving power through her, we ask in Jesus' name. I want to lift up Cody and Alicia Gramco and the family with this their new little baby boy, Kaysen, and how exciting that is for them, and certainly Travis as his middle name, and we just thank you for your goodness and pray that it all is going well in their homes, in that household, be a busy place with four little ones. Thank you for giving them strength, and Grandpa and Grandma too, who help out a whole lot. Bless them in this time. We pray for Lori Whale with this procedure here on Friday of the angiogram and echocardiogram. Thank you for going before her in this. I know there's another one in here that's scheduled for a procedure on Thursday to do with the heart, and I lift up that one as well to you, and thank you for going before these individuals. We seek you first, Lord. We seek you first with our health, for you are our healer and the great physician. For the an unspoken that we continue to lift up before your throne, thank you for healing in this young man's body throughout his being, Lord, in Jesus' name. We pray, Lord, as we pray, we certainly again say thank you for the rain. Lord, it sounds like there were certain areas not far from us, Lenox and maybe towards Yankton, that had some damaging storms yesterday, and we're sorry to hear about that. We pray for them and ask that you help them through that time, whatever was suffered. But Father, we do thank you for the moisture so desperately, desperately needed. As we pray, I want to pray for John Hess in the care center, who's been struggling more and more here lately. Thank you for being with him and Matha and the staff at our care center that works there so diligently to care for all of the residents. We thank you for your blessings upon that facility. Lord, for we our eyes are upon Afghanistan. We see the tragedies happening there. Lord, 13 of our service members losing their lives just a couple days ago. We pray for their families and ask that you comfort them through this time. We pray for the Afghan people themselves, many more, 90-some, I think, that lost their lives on that same incident. Lord, we need your help. We ask for your mercy in this situation that is so volatile over there. We pray, Lord, and ask for your divine intervention to get our troops out and the people out that need to be, Lord Jesus. Guide our leaders in all of this. Lord, you tell us that we are to pray for kings and all those who are in authority. And in your word, it says that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and you turn it whithersoever way you will. And we do pray for guidance through these times, difficult times. But you are sovereign over all, and you are our maker, and we love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to read from Psalm 105. I didn't write it in my bulletin, and you know what else I'm thinking? I might not even have changed it from last Sunday. Sometimes that happens. I didn't. So, thank God for Philippians 4:13. which says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Let's stand and we'll sing the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Father, we do praise you. We have so much to give thanks to you for. You are the faithful one. As your word says, even when we are faithless, you are faithful. For you cannot deny yourself. And we praise you for that. Thank you for the moisture again, Lord. It's much on our minds. Thank you for your provision in many ways, in unexpected ways, for the blessings that come. Not so we hoard them upon ourselves, but so we can continue the work of the gospel, proclaiming, Jesus, that you are Lord of all, that you are the only way to heaven. And we know that is true. Your word says so. So thank you as we give of our offerings and our tithes, the first fruits of all of our increase. We ask that you multiply these gifts many times over for your kingdom. In Jesus' name. We pray. And Lord, we pray together the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. For those visiting, if you desire to give, we have offering boxes at the back of the sanctuary there when you go out the double doors. So the children can come, please. Johnny Whale's going to do the message this morning.
Good morning. How are we doing today? Did anybody get wet during all the rain?
Yeah.
You got wet? Good. How about did anybody take their shoes off and stomp in water puddles?
No.
No? My wife does that all the time. Did you know that? She likes that. Anyway, who likes to play hide and seek?
Me.
That's about everybody. What do you like best, to hide? Hide or seek? No? What do you like best, hiding or seeking? How about hiding? How about seeking?
Ah.
Okay, cool. Well, I hid my gumball machine in the church today, and I forgot where I hid it. So I need someone to help me look. Who wants to help? How about you? Come here. Come here. I know I hid it on this side somewhere, but I can't remember where. You help me look. Come here. Let's see if we can find it. Where is it? Maybe, is it in this behind this thing? No? Let's look in here. I think I see it. Is that it? Sure. That's where I put it. Let's bring that out here so everybody can see it. Thanks for helping me. Okay, a little about this gumball machine before we... A high school boy built it 14 years ago for me, and he wanted me to invite you guys into my room at school and give you a gumball and tell you about Jesus. That's pretty cool for a high school kid to do that. And so he built it in shop class. I hid some gumballs on that machine. Can you see them?
Yeah.
Where?
In on the pan.
Well, there's some. But there are also some hiding inside there, right?
Yeah.
Well, how do we get them out?
Yeah,
we open up. Oops, I got it the wrong way around. I'm sorry. I even got the jar on wrong. Okay. Anyway, that's how we find them. So you probably want to be a seeker, right? Because you can have all those gumballs because you got to pull it out till you get the right gumball that you want to seek, right? Anyway, it kind of reminds me of something God says in his word. It says in Psalms 119:11, it says, I have stored up your word in my heart. Oh, I forgot a part. Sorry. What's that say?
Remember the word.
Well, when I first started doing this, I wanted to teach you guys to be thankful for a free gift. And a lot of times you forgot to say it, so I put that on there, remember the word. But it also has a hidden meaning. Does anybody know what the hidden meaning is? Remember God's word, okay? And that's where this scripture comes to my mind. It says, I have stored up my word in your word in my heart that I might not sin. Well, how do we store up God's word in our heart? How do we do that? Anybody know? How? Be kind, yeah. We learn to be kind by reading God's word. So we have to read God's word stored up in our heart, right? And when we do that, God's word gives us strength not to sin. So it needs to be part of our life every day, right? Reading God's word, having our parents read God's word, because you guys, some of you guys can't read, right? So your parents should be teaching you these things. So not sinning is hard to do sometimes, right? So sin always tries to find us, right? And how did we do that? How do we not be found? We have to get strength from God's word, right? Because God's word helps us not to sin. We're still going to sin, but we sin less, okay? In order to do this, in order to have this strength that God gives us, we first got to do something else. We have to ask Jesus to enter our hearts, right? And ask him to forgive us our sins and make him Lord of our lives, which means every day we need to seek his face and his word through prayer, memorizing the verses, reading stories about Jesus. So it's a good thing to remember, because it is what Jesus wants us to do. Because sin is not what God wants us to do. He wants us to obey him, right? So just remember, when you see that sign at school, remember the word. We can even do that in school too, right? Okay, let's pray. Father, we are thankful for your word that speaks to our hearts so that we might not sin against you. You are a good, good God who provides strength to us to live for you. Father, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we say. Amen. I'm going to be taking this out to the social hall, and after church you can get a gumball. And the ones that can't have gumballs, I got gummy worms for you, okay? You can get your papers now.
Thanks, Johnny, for sharing. Thanks for your ministry at our school. What a blessing, an amazing blessing. We're going to sing number 79 while the kids are going back to their seats. My Jesus, I love thee.
Oh,
Let's bow our heads in prayer once more, please. Father, we do love you. We love you in life. We will love you in death. We love you as long as you give us breath on this earth and then in eternity in heaven. And the same we say about your word, the very living word of God. As the psalmist said, your word is sweeter than honey to our taste. We desire it more than silver or gold or any such thing, for your word is forever settled in heaven. It endures forever. Your word is truth. And we thank you for the men you used of old. You inspired them to record the scriptures that we are so blessed to have freely available to us today. So we look into it here this morning. Open the eyes of our understanding, Lord Jesus. We thank you for doing it. I ask that you speak through me as well, by your Spirit, to those gathered here this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we have been working through Hebrews, as most of you know. I'm just reading one verse out of there today, and then we'll go back to Genesis. Hebrews 11, 23 says this, by faith, I was on verse 22. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. So we're going back to Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. To find out a little more about this, it says, now a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her slave girl to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. This is one of the Hebrew babies. Hebrew, that's Jewish, okay? This is one of the Hebrew babies, she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you? Yes, go, she answered. And the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you. So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, I drew him out of the water. Amen. Last Sunday, we were sort of in the middle of, well, when Moses, I'd say, was 80 years old, because remember, he carried Joseph's bones out of Egypt into the wilderness for those 40 years. Moses did that. They kept track of his bones for 400 years. And even through the 40 years in the wilderness, and then remember, Joshua was the one who actually carried his bones into the promised land and buried them. But now, so we're going back to his birth this morning. By faith, Moses' parents, they hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child. That phrase, no ordinary child, I like to look up in different translations. Well, some say he was a beautiful child. Some say he was a fine child. One translation said he was an unusual child. And I was going to put that as my title of the sermon, but I thought, well, an unusual child. Anyway, it says he was not an ordinary child. He was handsome, okay? They were not afraid of the king's edict. Now, if you're doing the outline there, that first number, number one, as the time drew near. I want to talk about this part first, and then we'll go a little further in direction. But as the time drew near, the amazing thing about God's word is you find different parts of this account throughout his word. And one place, which this is in the meditation portion of your bulletin, I typed it in there, is Acts chapter 7. This is as Stephen was getting ready to be stoned to death. That doesn't mean getting high. That means rocks. Literally, bam, 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 until you are dead. For his faith in Jesus Christ, God was doing mighty things through Stephen. He was not one of the 12 apostles, but he was a follower of Jesus, and God was doing miracles through this man, and the Jewish religious leaders were so upset about it. So he preaches this whole sermon to them in chapter 7. You can read that later today, but this one part, he focuses on Moses. Listen. As the time drew near for God to fulfill his promise to Abraham, the number of our people in Egypt greatly increased. Then another king, who knew nothing about Joseph, became ruler of Egypt. He dealt treacherously with our people and oppressed our forefathers by forcing them to throw out their newborn babies so they would die. At the time Moses was born, and he was no ordinary child, there you see that phrase again. For 3 months he was cared for in his father's house. When he was placed outside, Pharaoh's daughter took him and brought him up as her own son. Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was powerful in speech and action. When the time drew near, for what at this point? For Israel's deliverance out of the bondage of Egypt, right? When the time drew near, what else increased? Persecution against them, right? It says the Egyptians, they dealt treacherously with them. It says they oppressed them, forcing them, as we read, to throw out their newborn babies into the Nile River. We think, could you imagine? It's hard to imagine. And yet in our wonderful day that we think we're so advanced, we do the very same thing with our unborn babies. And yet think nothing of it, at least half the nation or so. It's terrible. It's terrible. Satan's attacks increased against God's people when the time of their deliverance drew near. How about let's think up to Jesus when it was time for him to be born? Our Savior, our Deliverer. I'd say the persecution increased. The Roman Empire in charge was brutal, and they were brutal to those Jewish people. They put them to death all the time. How about right after Jesus was born? The Deliverer, our Savior. Yeah, what did Herod do? Issued the edict, I want every baby boy, 2 years old and under, in Bethlehem and its vicinity to be put to death. Because he was scared, right? He heard a king has been born, king of Israel. Let's bring it up to today. We are waiting for the second coming of Christ. And it is drawing near. Obviously, every day is a day nearer. But boy, you look at the signs of the times and the things in the world, and it just has got to be getting so close. And what is increasing? Persecution against God's people. We see it all around. Oh, you can't talk about Jesus in school or here and there in all these places. And there's much more than that. As the time drew near, so 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, just a scripture here, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. Not something we like to hear, is it? It's going to be, though. It's going to be. And he goes on talking in the rest of that chapter about that. But so what, with this passage, though, of Moses and what his parents did with him, brings us to the second point in your outline there. It's with our children. It's very important. How are we raising our children? Boy, we got to be serious about it. We got to be diligent and disciplined. Because what's he trying to do in this day that we live in? He is trying to destroy the family. The family as God designed it. In marriage and with the children. He's getting things way out of whack. And it's just unbelievable. As we watch this occurring before our eyes, Satan knows if he can destroy the family as he designed it, then it's pretty easy to destroy the nation, because the basic unit of the nation is the family. So important. Three times, back here to Exodus, at chapter 1 actually, which I didn't read, three times we see Pharaoh tried different things to stop the multiplication of the people of Israel in Egypt. They were slave labor for Egypt. And then they grew so much, by the time they come out, you've heard me say, it's estimated they numbered at least 2 million people. You know how many went down there 400 years before? 70. Coming out at 2 million across the Red Sea. First, Exodus 1. Exodus 1, it says, he put slave masters over them, the Israelites, to oppress them with forced labor. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread. And you know what? The same thing happens with the church. It's happened through the last 2,000 years. No matter who the government or people is at Christ's time that tried to squelch out the church, the early church, they wanted no mention of Jesus. They thought they had gotten rid of all that when they nailed him to the cross. But did they? No. No, they did not. The church multiplied. And so it has through the ages. The nation of China that has had to push down the church and push them into secret, it's exploding the underground church over there. God will not be stopped. His plan will not be stopped. So he tries that. You go on a little further in Exodus 1. Then he goes to the midwives, the Jewish midwives. He names two of them, Shiphrah and Puah. He says, all right, when you help these Hebrew women in childbirth and observe them on the birthing stool, if it's a boy, kill him. Wow. If it's a girl, let her live. The midwives, however, feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. They let the boys live. We come to verse 22 of that first chapter. Pharaoh then gives this order to all of his people, talking to the Jewish people. Every boy that is born among you, you must throw into the Nile River, but let every girl live. He thought he'd stop it that way. Couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. And there were crocodiles in the Nile River then. I was looking it up this week. There are today. It's actually called the Nile crocodile. The males, it said they grow anywhere from 11 and a half feet to 16 and a half feet in length. That's a pretty massive dude, isn't it? Weighing from 500 to 1,600 pounds. And that's a lot of weight. Throw them in the Nile River. So how are we raising our children today? Letter A, our love for God. Our love for God, ours. How strong is it? What lengths do we go to? By faith? By faith. Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. They were standing, weren't they? They were standing firm. They were standing their ground. And their love for God was very evident at all costs. They didn't care if it meant death for them. It was greater than the fear of the king. They knew that life was precious. They knew life was a gift of God, that it was not to be thrown away. They didn't care what the ruler said, and they stood on that. Do you think the authorities knew Jochebed? That was his mom's name. Amram was his dad's name, Moses' parents, Amram and Jochebed. Do you think they knew that she was pregnant? I'd say very likely. Scripture doesn't tell us. But they were watching. They were watching all around those taskmasters. They knew she was getting close. Parenting, yeah, today, it's a big step of faith. It is. Now, we're not persecuted anywhere close to this at this point. But certainly, yeah, there is indoctrination going on in many levels. You know, college, you get off to college, you're being indoctrinated in all kinds of garbage of this world system. Those of you that are high school and getting up to that age, you got to be ready. It's there. You need to be aware of it. You should have been taught well through your years here to know the differences between right and wrong. And don't just take it all. Oh, that's what the professor says. Don't just take it all. Please, please, please. And parents and grandparents, but I'm just blessed as I observe. I'm not observing in a judgmental way at all. I'm just blessed as I observe, as you're being diligent to bring your kids up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. That takes purpose and work and a determined heart. Letter B. First was our love for God as parents and grandparents. Second, then, our love for our children. What do we do? Because they saw he was no ordinary child. Exodus says he was a fine child. So she hides him in their own home for 3 months until she felt, and her husband, it's too dangerous to do it. What, is he getting more vocal? We can't keep him quiet. He's getting bigger. We have got to do something. Now, they were not alone. You think of how many thousands of Jewish baby boys were thrown into that Nile River by force. I highly doubt that any of the parents, when the baby was born and it was a boy, I highly doubt any of them went to the Egyptian authorities and said, "We had a baby boy." I'm sure they were doing everything in their power to hide those little baby boys. You know it. And probably with Amram and Jochebed in the village where they would have lived there at that time, I suppose, you know, there were different settlements, obviously, with 2 million of them. They probably focused on different areas, and maybe the pressure was really hot right then. Don't you know they would have been seeking God for this little baby boy? And so she puts him in this papyrus basket. So these are reeds, papyrus. They're long and they're hollow-stemmed. Weave the basket real tight, and then you coat it on the outside and inside with this pitch, tar pitch-like, and it's waterproof. If you read the King James Bible, you know what the word says instead of basket? Ark. She made an ark and put him in it. The only time that the Hebrew word, which I can't really pronounce for you, Tabah, if that's accurate, that's how it's spelled, Tabah. The only time that Hebrew word is found in all of the Old Testament is here and Noah, of course. God says, build an ark. For what? The saving of your family. The ark was a place of salvation in a time of judgment on the world, wasn't it? And Noah and his family were saved. How about now? This ark, this little basket, is going to be a place of salvation for this little baby boy, Moses, who God was going to raise up to be their deliverer and lead them out of bondage of Egypt. Pretty neat, isn't it? Those parents, they were literally risking their lives by doing this, putting him in that basket. Were they risking Moses' life? I'd say so. Yeah, crocodiles in there and who knows what not, hippopotamuses I've read. What's that going along? Looks like a good snack. Could have been, right? But God had his hand on that little baby boy. It was God's providence to fulfill his plan. They were risking their own lives, but how did they do it? By faith. How do you raise your children? By faith. There are days where you feel like, am I doing anything right? Yeah? I'd say, for everybody in here, I would imagine, there are those days where mom and dad have that discussion. What are we doing? You're raising them by faith. By faith. And you work through those challenges. And when they grow up, you do everything you know to do as they're growing. And there comes a time they get on their own. And they might not follow everything you taught them and asked of them to follow. Doesn't mean you failed. No, you stand on God's word there in Proverbs. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old or she, they will not depart from it. I don't care how old they are. As long as you're still living, and if they're still out wandering, you stand on that promise for them when you pray for them. Great steps of faith bring amazing results. They do. Amazing results. Pharaoh's daughter, she goes down to the Nile River to bathe. I think about a lot of this stuff. Did they know where she bathed? I would imagine they did. I mean, they were building pyramids and palaces and all kinds of magnificent things. I'm sure at the bathing spot they would have built out into the Nile River with their large rock stone blocks and had a very nice place. So part of the plan was to Moses' older sister, Miriam, right? 7 years older, take him in the basket, put him out by the reeds, and you watch what happens. And so I'm sure the basket floats along near enough to where Pharaoh's daughter recognized it. Hey, of course, she has all kinds of servants. Look, what's that over there in the reeds? Go check it out. Oh, it's a baby boy. Bring him here. It's one of the Hebrews. If you ever watch the Ten Commandments, you know they have a woven piece of the baby cloth around him in the basket. It was clear to see. That's the movie. I'm not saying that's scripture. But she recognized him right away, didn't she? It's one of the Hebrew babies. And we all know this part, but every time I read it, it's just so incredible. They open it up, he's crying, and here Miriam goes, "Would you like me to get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, please." And so gets the mother, she comes, and what? You know, she gets paid to raise her own baby at home until he was old enough to be brought to the palace. How old was that? Scripture doesn't tell us. Commentaries, they say from 3 to 4 years of age on up. Actually, John MacArthur in his sort of feels he could have been 12. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Because the question is, you with your young children and even your middle school and high school, if you knew you only had 5 to 10 years with that child before they were going to be taken and raised in Pharaoh's palace in all the wisdom of Egypt, that which, yeah, they were very knowledgeable, but it also came to all the false gods, all the false worship that went on in Egypt. If you knew you only had that much time, boy, we would be very diligent in our day. Sunday school, church, yeah, confirmation. At home. You have the keys for kids. Do those get read or are they just whoop? And I know it's busy. I know it is. Do it as you can with that. But it's so important that it's not just here at church. What do you think they taught him? Did they teach him the Ten Commandments? No, because they weren't written yet, were they? No, they were not written yet. It's okay if you said yes, I didn't hear any answers. They taught him about Adam and Eve. They taught him about Cain and Abel, the need for the blood sacrifice. They taught him about Enoch, who walked with God for 300 years. They taught him about Noah and the flood and why the flood happened. They taught him about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, all of them. And you know how? It was through oral tradition. None of that was written down. Because who did God use to write Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy? He used Moses to record the first 5 books of the Bible. Well, God had a plan for him being trained in the wisdom, the education of the Egyptians, how to write, all that. He had a plan, as he always does. And so he was educated. The verse in Acts chapter 7 says that. In all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was powerful in speech and wisdom. Letter C, here, the results. So one, our love for God, parents and grandparents, needs to be evident to them. Being here is one big way that's evident. But it has to happen through the week at home too. Okay? Second, our love for our children. Yes, we risk our lives for them. Does that mean we spoil them rotten? No. 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 Spare the rod, spoil the child, Proverbs says. Right? Not good. The result is a love for God grows within our children. And we'll pick up on this, God willing, next week. But if we go on in Hebrews, it says, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. Now, I want to close with this. This, I had to look back when I had this in the Salem Spire, and it was actually in February. I came across, I think it was something Ann found in an email and gave it to me by this Alex Cravens, who I don't know who he is, but I'm not going to read the whole quote, but this applies to today. It's talking to parents. Don't feel sorry for or fear for your kids because the world they are growing up in is not what it used to be. God created them and called them for the exact moment of time that they are in. Train them up in the authority of God's word. Teach them to walk in faith, knowing that God is in control. Empower them to know they can change the world. God knew Daniel could handle the lion's den. He knew David could handle Goliath. He knew Esther could handle Haman. He knew that Paul could handle the persecution. All of this is only by God's almighty power. God is not scratching his head, wondering what he's going to do with this mess of a world. He has an army he's raising up to drive back the darkness and make him known all over the earth. He says, I know it's hard to imagine them, your kids, as anything besides our sweet little babies. And we just want to protect them from anything that could ever be hard on them. But they were born for such a time as this. Amen. Yes, and we are too, living in this age. Let's pray. Father, oh, help us to be diligent. We're blessed incredibly with young families and children and youth in this congregation, and we thank you for every one of them. Thank you for their faithfulness, Lord, to be here. Thank you for their faithfulness to serve in Sunday school teaching or on Christian Ed Committee or as high school youth advisors and VBS directors and Christmas program directors and all the many, many ways that we need their help. Give them wisdom, Lord, as they're bringing up their children and their youth. Guide them through the process, and I know that you are, and I thank you for it. And let there be a great love within our children and youth, young adults, and all of our hearts, a great love for you and your word, that we live by faith, just as we see all of these examples. Thank you for it. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Great is thy faithfulness, is the closing hymn. He is the faithful one. Whatever you're going through, you got to know he's faithful. He's working. Let's stand as we sing this, please. Forever. Beautiful, beautiful singing unto the Lord. Please receive the benediction. And now may the Lord go with you. May he go ahead of you to guide you, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you his peace. Amen. And as always, we sing as a prayer for our nation. God bless America. Be seated. Thank you, Joanne, for the beautiful music today. Consistory, if you want to head back for your meeting, you sure can. I guess, Mark.